And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUNS Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Squamish, maybe Seashell, maybe Sacramento, or Long Beach. What?
Your friends in Nova Scotia.
My friends in Nova Scotia moved to Squamish. Listen, I got a couple of wise guys in the studio with me, and it's going to be a fun show, as you can see. However, it is time for Arts Live and Local, and it's 49 degrees here. And yes, it is raining. The chance was 100%, and we didn't want any disappointments, so it is raining. And tonight it will rain, but stay nice and warm, 45 degrees, and going up to 55. I don't know what that means. 8 o'clock p.m., 45, and then going to 55 during the rest of the night. I wonder what's going on there. We need Gordon McRae to tell us what's going on. Anyway, Saturday, chance of rain 100%. Nothing is 100% in life. High near 50 with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Sunday, it's only 50% chance of rains. Mostly cloudy with a high near 49 and a half. So, I want to, again, welcome everybody to Coast Community Radio and send a shout out to Squamish, formerly Nova Scotia, and Seashell, and New York, California, Wyoming, wherever you are in the world. And I want to make a dedication because we lost a very particular human being yesterday, last night. Amos Oz died, and he was, he was one of the people who, in my estimation, had the right vision for making peace in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Palestinians. He was born in Jerusalem, 1939, and he knew what he was talking about. You can find him and his books, Amos Oz, O-Z.
Salam. salam. East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, shalom. Salam.
That's David Broza, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem. Yeah, it's time. It's time. It's beyond time. Well, now it's time for my first guest. And my first guest is Mac Burns, who is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And in this case, for this interview, the executive director of the Oregon Film Museum. What's the story? Are they part and parcel? Is that how it works?
Well, the Oregon Film Museum does kind of have its own identity, and we want it to, but it is, of course, one of the four museums that the Clatsop County Historical Society operates. But
what are the others?
Oh, shame on you. It's the Flavel. It's the listeners. You know, you're just trying to put me on.
I'm a member.
The Flavel House, of course. And then the Heritage Museum in the Old City Hall. And then the Forgotten Child, the Uppertown Firefighters Museum.
Yeah, I remember because there used to be a children's museum in that
space.
Yeah,
we partnered with the Children's Museum for about 7 or 8 years.
Oh, was it that long?
Yeah, we let them keep all the admissions as long as they would staff it. And that's always been the problem is that we just don't have the paid staff or the volunteers. But we're open in the summertime there.
Right.
And anytime we put an open flag out, we get a nice little audience.
Nice. So. Yeah. Well, and it is an iconic building sitting there on Main Street. So, but the other buildings are quite wonderful. And I didn't mean to make it sound commercial, but yes, I am a member because this is another one of our local nonprofits.
You are. And, so, you know, even though we're Clatsop County and a lot of people every now and then get confused thinking we're a county agency, we get $1,000 a year from the county, just like the Maritime Museum, the Seaside Museum, and the Cannon Beach Museum.
And that goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does. You know, when I know every $200 donor by name, $1,000 is too much to turn down. We take care of six old buildings. And operate four museums, and we do it with a budget of about $500,000.
Yeah.
So we need members like you, and if you're listening and you're not a member, we need you too.
Right. Of course, since you're listening to Coast Community Radio, you come to us first, and then you go, no,
that's right.
Do it double whammy, and then we're going to talk about that a little bit later, and the Oregon Cultural Trust and how you could give to each of these fabulous organizations and pay no tax.
That's right.
You can get it right off. We'll talk about that later. So why is Mac here? Because on January 10th of 2019,
it's still weird
like a week
that.
And a half, but still it does sound pretty impressive, is the official kickoff for the Oregon Film Trail. And it's going to start at Alameda Park. I'm going to let Mac tell you about it, but I have a question first. I noticed that, and was this the first film done in Astoria, The Fisherman's Bride?
1909.
Yeah, so that's 100 years.
And that's one of the reasons the Oregon Film Museum is here in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were first creating it, I went to the Governor's Commission on Film and Television and said, are we the Astoria Film Museum, the Clatsop County Film Museum, or can we be the Oregon Film Museum? And their answer was, nobody else is doing this.
Yes.
Their answer was, you guys have had a lot of the iconic films, a lot of them in the 80s. You guys love being on film. You guys are nuts. You don't mind closing roads down and you all show up to be extras.
People move out of their houses.
Yeah.
But
the other reason was that the very first scripted film, not a documentary, was filmed by the Selig Polyscope Company. Colonel Selig's the guy that created Hollywood.
Oh.
So before there was Hollywood, he sent a film crew to Oregon. And they had a scripted 14-minute movie, that's what all movies were, called The Fisherman's Bride, that was filmed here in Astoria. So filmmaking in Oregon began right here.
And that's 100, and This is the 110th
yeah.
birthday anniversary.
How cool is that?
It's beautiful. So what is going to be happening?
Well, this film trail, you probably saw there's been news out there about it because the signs are up. So this event that we're doing is just the official kickoff, but the signs are already up. And this is a partnership between the Oregon Film Museum, the Governor's Commission on Film and Television, and the Astoria Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. And what it is it's a way to identify and maybe give a few ground rules for how to enjoy some of your favorite filming locations. We actually, on our website that is in the middle of being redone, we created a digital map of Clatsop County about 7 or 8 years ago for this exact same purpose. Mm. And the goal is eventually to have signs all over the state, just like you see the historic signs mm-hmm. that something historic happened. We mm-hmm. want these to be just as iconic that something was filmed here. Stop and take a look and a little fun fact. Mm-hmm. And tell you, maybe it's private property, so please don't go up on that hill where the Goonies was filmed.
Yeah, we all know what
enjoy
that was.
It from here. Or, hey, Astor Elementary School really is a school. Don't just go wandering
yeah,
in because
right.
Kindergarten Cop was filmed right, there. Enjoy right. it from this spot.
Right. And go to the film museum.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And learn about the... So tell us, you said the signs are up.
Yeah, we've started this as a pilot program. And again, for the same reasons the Oregon Film Museum is here, the Governor's Commission on Film and Television came here first because they know that we as a community love this and they wanted to see how they would look, how the public would respond. And we all envision that there will be these signs all across the state, but they wanted to put some out in a community that is film friendly mm-hmm. and see the reaction and see if it helps in driving people away from places they shouldn't go mm-hmm. and if it helps create more interest. Oh my gosh, I should learn more about this. I should go to this website or that website. And like I said, a digital version will be rolling out at some point in the near future. And we even have already some plans for some additional signs in Clatsop County. But I know the Film Commission wants them all over the state eventually.
So give me an example or a couple of examples here in our area.
Well, the three that are up that you can go visit okay. today if yeah. you want to get out in the rain. There's one at the East End Mooring Basin. So just go into the parking lot and you'll see it. It's right by the trolley tracks. There's one right by the...
Wait, can you tell us what was filmed there or we have to go look?
Well, you should go look. But that one talks about Kindergarten Cop
okay.
because you've got a great view of Astor Elementary School. And then it mentions that homes were used up on the hill for movies like The Goonies. Goonies fans will be able to pick it out. But we use that phrase because you've also got up that hill behind Astor Elementary, you've also got the Free Willy House.
Ah,
so
yeah.
That is a true statement. Mm-hmm. Then there's one right by the Film Museum mm-hmm. that talks about the jail mm-hmm. and that it was used
good.
In Short Circuit, The Goonies, Come See the Paradise. And
wow.
I don't think we put it on the sign, but it was also used in the first season of 21 Jump Street. Oh. Don't ask me why. I know that.
I don't,
and then there's a little fun.
I don't even know what that is. Is that a TV thing?
Yeah,
or,
it was a TV
oh, okay.
show. It gave us Johnny Depp
and
oh, Richard Grieco.
Well, him I know. TV I don't know, but him I know.
And then the fun fact there, it talks a little bit about the Flavel House and how it was just briefly in The Goonies. And the reason for that is because we were painting at the time and the house was surrounded by scaffolding. Or else you just know Richard Donner and Steven Spielberg would have panned up that tower.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, now, wasn't the Flavel House just recently used?
We were in the spring. We closed for the first time ever. We've never done that before. Closed to the public for 9 days. And we led a independent film called The Mortuary Collection, rearranged the house and tested all of our comfort levels of the volunteers and staff. But they left the house better than they found it. They made some very nice changes for us. They hung one of the original chandeliers that we did not have the time or staff to do at the time. Painted area original colors for us.
Oh, great.
So and they paid us on top of it.
Yeah.
And the house will be definitely a character in the movie. We expect it to be released sometime in the spring. As the last that we heard, and it stars Clancy Brown, among other people, that a lot of people know as the voice of Mr. Krabs in SpongeBob SquarePants, but he was also the bad prison guard in Shawshank Redemption. A lot of people know him from that, but he's been in probably hundreds of movies and video games.
Are you a film buff? Were you a film buff before? You know, what's the story? Because you're saying all these things. I'm sitting here going, I have no idea.
Suddenly the Snoopy's teacher, the wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, I'm of the age, I was raised on television, so I like the visual media. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said that I'm a movie expert, but I've certainly become far more knowledgeable as we started this film museum 8 years ago.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Knew I had to become more knowledgeable in it. At one point, I was trying to watch at least one Oregon-made movie a month.
How many are there?
There's over 400 at this point.
Really?
So I'm probably about 150.
And are most of them? You still have some to go. That's good.
Yeah.
Aspirations.
It's goals.
Do
That's
you
right.
Okay? Are most of them full-length movies, or do they vary completely?
No, I mean,
was 14-minute one was full-length for the time.
For the time period, sure. Know. And that was because most of the movies at the time period were shown in vaudeville houses.
Right.
And they assumed that was the attention span of Americans was 14 minutes. And it was also the length.
I think it's only...
It does. It maybe less now.
What did you say?
That still holds true.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's down to 5 minutes now.
I think a little bit less. And can I hit it with my thumbs?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It was also the length of one reel of film. Most of them are full length. There's a lot of independent stuff, but there's some major movie makers in the state of Oregon. Will Vinton Studios, now Leica Studios, are making amazing animation, claymation. And then you've got people like Gus Van Sant. So, I mean, there's some major movies that are made here. And if you look at the list of movies made in Oregon, I defy anybody to not look through that list and be familiar with 20 or 30 or 40 iconic films. You've got The Shining, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Animal House, The Goonies, Kindergarten
Cop. See,
now
these I recognize.
It's an incredible list of things that have been filmed here.
Yes, a real scary one. Isn't The Shining
Scary one? Timberline Lodge, all of 5 minutes of flyover, but technically that makes it an Oregon film.
So there was a... What was the one done here that was a scary
the
one?
Ring
the
two.
Ring, too.
Oh, I don't look. I don't see.
I don't know if
it's
really scary or just the scary that I spent 2 hours watching it.
Yeah, I don't watch those movies, but I know a friend of mine moved out of her. Well, she didn't even have to move out of her house. She just let them use her driveway because they were using a house right across the street and picked up a few $100, you know. Well,
and that's the beautiful thing about the film industry is it's such a green industry. You know, they come and they spend money in restaurants, hotels, and buying supplies locally. They pay people to use their houses or hose.
Well, I wonder if
things like that.
I've found people to be very friendly, too. I wonder if they're that way everywhere, or because there are people who come into an area and sort of like, okay, the locals, you plebeians, go at it.
I think like any group of people, you're going to have some prima donnas, you're going to have some that are the nicest people in the world. Yeah. And I think the film industry is the same way.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true. Okay, let's remind folks now. What should they do if they're interested? Well, is there a website yet?
Okay. I mean, the Oregon Film Museum, oregonfilmmuseum.org is there.
It's in the midst of
getting cleaned up.
Okay.
The Governor's Commission on Film and Television has a wonderful website as well. I don't know the exact. It might be OF or it might be oregonfilm.com.
So on January 10th.
And we'll do a press release, and you'll get it, so you'll be able to announce. It'll be in the newspaper. But if people want to come out and just help celebrate that these signs are going up, and these are the first, and just like a lot of things, a story is the first.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, and this is for a good reason. So, sounds like fun. We've been talking to Mac Burns, he's not wearing any hat, come to think of it. It's raining out, Mac. But he's wearing his Oregon Film Museum hat for this. He's also the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society and all the museums. And again, check it out. It's almost the end of the year. And stay tuned and you'll find out why it's a really good idea to support your local nonprofits. Do I have to tell you? You know that. this town, just like Matt was saying, they know we're a friendly town. We're also a volunteer town.
There are so many organizations that would not exist without the generosity and the man hours, the woman hours, the volunteer hours that people put in. Yeah. We're all very fortunate to live here.
And what goes around comes around, so we get to take advantage of all the good stuff. Thank you so much for coming in, Mac.
Thanks for letting me come in.
Sounds like fun.
All right.
Okay. And I'm going to put on a little bit of music. Let's see. I thought I was.
I want to get on the good foot.
The good foot. That is James Brown, of course. Get on the good foot. And, well, we could play that any old time because it's so cool. But also, we are getting off on the good foot as the new year begins. And I have Marco Davis here. Is that who's here? Yes, that's what he's wearing Marco Davis clothes, so that's who he is. Yeah. Okay. However, he's here to tell us about an event that is coming up, New Year's Eve, and it is at the Columbian Theater from 9:45 to 11. Very interesting timing, and it is being hosted by Daylight Comes. And I have another guest here who's sort of going to be, who's pulling mics when the mic is on.
That's how you know it's real. Hi, Carol.
That would be Graham Nystrom or,
Yeah, I'm crashing the party because
Yeah, well, you, this hat, and you're not wearing a hat either. At least Marco's wearing a hat. Thank you. You can change hats. Graham is here in this interview as part of
Midas Digs.
Midas Digs, yeah. The party. A party. That's a band that is going to be part of this extravaganza.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening at the Columbian Theater on New Year's Eve.
Jessamine and Andrea organized an evening showcase for us to put on and asked myself and Daylight if we would host it and do a little performing. So, but Janine had already arranged for a band to be in the Voodoo at 11. So we're doing a show in the theater from 9:45 to 11.
And then
there's other things going on around town so people can disperse and there kind of spread the love that we raise in that room and bring it all over town.
Fantastic. So who is, I'm going to let Graham speak from Midas Digs. What else is going to be in this evening of Fabuloso?
So we have a couple of numbers by Dragolution, and then Dinah will be gracing us with her voice, and Triple Moon Belly Dance from the Astoria Arts and Movement Center will be doing several numbers, and then Midas Digs is going to be performing at the end for us.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Well, your parties at the Columbian Theater are always a lot of fun.
And you know what?
It's been a few years.
It has. And the interesting, it's like it's my 10-year anniversary of doing these parties because it kicked off with my 40th. And I'm having my 50th in a month. I know.
Wow.
But for the 50th, we're having the big party at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center. We're having DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid come and do a Bollywood dance party.
Oh, that's going to be
I know. And
outrageous.
I started off with you at my 26th. Teaching folk dancing at Shively Hall.
That's
I mean, we've always
right.
done cultural events.
Oh, my God. Yes. They've changed over time.
Always.
Yes.
Morphing a little bit.
Morphing and the clothing and all of that
Everything.
Kind of stuff. But
yeah.
this, they're always wonderful and real community events. A lot of fun. Now, is there an age thing?
Yes, it's 21 and over
okay.
for this party.
21 plus. And that's probably because of Midas Dix.
Yes.
We would absolutely. Love to corrupt some young minds, but it's not going to happen this year.
But the doors will open at between 9 and 9:30, and then the show will start at 9:45.
And there is we don't give prices, but there is a tiny little drop in the bucket.
Oh, yeah. It's barely a whimper.
It is, really. What's the story? Midas Dix, we just had the big first
the big CD release. Well, you know, the reason we all got playing together initially was to do a New Year's show, and we learned a couple of cover tunes. We learned Under Pressure by Bowie and Queen and We Will Rock You by Queen, and so this year we're gonna do another cover or two. We're going to do a Prince song.
That's awesome.
Spoiler alert. We're really excited.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Are you all wearing purple?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But then you continued by doing it at the gala in June.
Yeah.
You guys came back and went even larger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Larger than life.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, so, you know, it started out as just Andrea and Derek and I, and then Celeste started singing with him, and then Mike, his old drummer. And so it's like, before we knew it, there was a band.
And it is quite the band. That was a fabulous CD release party.
We had a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, and it sounded really good, and it looked good, too. Celeste was doing some amazing moves.
She's quite the mover.
She can do a high kick.
Yes.
I'll tell you, she keeps, every time I see her, I'm going like, you're here, too? You know, at the Arts and Movement, Astoria Arts and Movement, she was showing her jewelry, and I said, so what don't you do, girl?
Oh,
you
know.
It was quite exciting. Celeste, of course, is one of the Tango Twins, so you can catch their act on Thursday nights and Saturday nights at the AAMC. Are you going to be doing original stuff this time too, or mostly just the covers?
We are going to do one original, two covers, and then Derek, Mike, and I are going to do a little live percussion to a belly dance improv by Jessamine. So we're super excited to accompany her on a piece.
On a solo.
Yeah, so like Dumbek and traditional Middle Eastern beats and stuff. And
who plays Dumbek?
I mean, we're learning, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I play Dumbek.
Don't expect anything, from
I
the drumming section.
That's a,
we're going to do our best. Yeah.
That's all we can ever do.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Turns out Prince is a really good guitar player, too.
Uh-huh.
Got my work cut out
there
for me.
There you go.
Seriously.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Warm up those fingers.
Yeah, and actually, I just saw While My Guitar Gently Weeps with, like, Tom Petty, Prince, George's son, Danny or something like that. The guy from ELO, like this huge Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and Prince did the solo at the end. Mind-blowing. You should look it up.
Well, you know, what's funny is I had heard the name Prince, but I knew nothing until. And then I saw the movie right here at the Columbian Theater, actually.
What, Purple Rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good
and
one.
I was blown away. Had I known that he was such a mover, I mean, what an incredible,
performer.
Well,
just performer.
A cutting-edge human in every way,
mm-hmm.
really.
Yeah. Yeah, I would wish he'd held on longer, and I wish I'd gotten in touch with it earlier. So, Daylight Comes, Dragolution, does that mean a whole... That whole
There'll
group?
There'll be four of us.
Four of you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because there's so much going on in town now.
Oh, it's I know, because like, we have a bunch of, because we have the kerfuffle thing happening. I mean,
right.
There's so much. And
yeah.
Fort George, the Inferno. It's going to be a fun celebratory evening.
And that's the, yeah, we were just talking about how great it was with volunteers in Astoria. And this is yet another, because you guys, of course, get paid the big bucks to do this performing.
Oh, yeah, $0, $0, thank you.
Well, but there's 5 zeros on that zero, so,
oh,
you know,
right.
So it's pretty good.
It is. It's so true.
Okay, and then are you counting this as sort of, you said you're going to have a big one.
Oh, yeah, okay. We're having the Age of Aquarius dance party January 25th.
Oh, gosh.
And that is going to be all ages and...
You know, I never put the numbers together, but if you're turning 50 the same year that I'm turning 75.
What?
But no. Not until the end of the year.
Okay.
So we have a little rest.
We do. Yeah. We totally do.
No more parties. So this is Dragolution, Jessica and Andrea.
Jessamine and Andrea.
Jessamine. What did I say? Jessica. Who's Jessica? I put Jess.
Yes.
And Jessamine and Andrea, Dinah Urell, Triple Moon Belly Dance is the group.
They're so good, yes.
Yes.
I think there are 12 of them dancing for the show.
Fantastic.
And they're doing several numbers this time, which will be incredible.
Beautiful. And I'd like to say that it's going to be worth it just to come and see that group perform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been hearing from different people that surprised me, and someone just said they went to a rehearsal. I said, for what? And they told me they were in the group too, and I was like, wow.
They put a lot of efforts into their costuming for this one.
Great.
And so when the coin belts start doing their thing, it's going to be a roar. It's going to be amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then, of course, Midas Digs and Derek Moore's band with our own Graham shredding and bumping. Oh, wait. Thumping. That's it. I don't know what these words are supposed to mean.
Becking.
It's 9:45. Come, you said the doors open 9?
Yeah, between 9 and 9:30.
Between 9
It'll
and
probably 9:30. Be closer to 9.
Okay. So that's Columbian Theater. It's on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. Can't miss it once you get to the area. And what a great way for bringing in the new year in community,
right?
With a lot of joy and
dress
and humor and dress up.
Yeah. Always an excuse to dress up.
There you go. In whatever you consider
your New Year's experience.
That's it. That's
a very positive night for sure.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
thanks,
everyone.
Thanks, Carol. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna keep Graham and bring in Susan, but I will put on a little more of that. No, I've got something else here.
What do you got, Carol?
I'm not even sure. I've got Robert Sarrazin Blake, who's going to be at the Adrift on January 10th.
It's a new year. Feeling pretty good. Pretty much. Like I thought it would. A little heavy. Loaded down. Little memories. Hanging around. Remembering New Year's Eve before the parties of girls, the dancing floor. Back when I figured by now things would be different, things would be worth it. But it's a new year, different this time. Last year I was okay, year before it was fine. Book of dreams, out of state plates, ready to roll to the gold. Now I'm out the tunnel, on the other side. Before I was weary, my eyes were wide. I came home, maybe too quick. Didn't grab what I needed, still something amiss. I figured by now, something will collide. Something I didn't plan, something wild and wide. Something that made sense in the bigger picture, in the present tense.
Okay, well, something that makes sense in the bigger picture is right here at Coast Community Radio. Yeah, that'd be KMUN. KMUN makes a lot of sense and wants to make a lot of more sense. And
well
dollars.
Into the future.
Dollars. I have... you look familiar.
I just got it. Cents and dollars. I just got it. Yeah. That's good, Carol. That's good.
I didn't do it on purpose. Certainly not. Graham Nystrom is here, our esteemed station manager here at Coast Community Radio, KMUN. And Susan Peterson, our bird lady and development director. Who knew you could do both things at one time?
It's easy.
It's easy. So you hear Susan most days introducing Bird Note, which is played at 11 o'clock-ish every morning. So why are you here?
I just want to say I also think of Susan as the heart of the station.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. You're welcome.
Yes, I would endorse that. It's been
absolutely
such a delight. Susan, how long you been here?
5 years.
5 years. Did you expect to stay that long?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I plan to stay until I retire. That's about 20 more years.
Excellent.
Yay! Yes.
You better, because Graham and Brian just got here. And, you know, they need you.
Yeah. So, we need you.
And yeah. Very exciting.
We all need you. It's been a pleasure, just an absolute pleasure. So it's the 28th of December, and you still have a few days, folks, before 2018 closes. And whether you do it for a tax reason, which is a legitimate reason, especially since you can do it for free if you match it with the Oregon Cultural Trust, comes right off your state taxes. But the more important reason, you all know, is what Graham just said. It's the heart. So why don't you tell us? What do we need?
Well, I think this whole thing started in October when we started having some problems with our equipment. and it wasn't just one problem. It was several problems. And so it just kind of revealed the fact that the equipment that makes this place go is getting towards the end of its lifespan. Electronic equipment usually has a 15 to 20 year lifespan, and we're 15 to 18 years on just about everything. And so it's just time to make a plan. And move forward with overhauling our equipment so that we can stay around and stay on the air and be what we are so proud and often, you know, claim to be, which is your source of emergency info when the weather's bad or when a storm hits or when the power goes out. And so, you know, I've built a plan. We call it Radio for Good, and it's because we want to stick around and we want to be here for good, but it's also because we really want to do good in the community. One of the things that Susan and I were talking about is how, you know, KMUN is a nonprofit, but we also serve other nonprofits in the area.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of another organization off the top of my head that is like that, where, you know, here we are applying for grants and serving the community, but all these other nonprofits come through our door.
Mm-hmm. And so do businesses. You know, we are the voice for businesses in our listening area. And we're also the voice for all the people who listen and the members and the programmers who want to come in and have their voice and their passion heard over the airwaves.
Wow. And, you know, we've been around for long enough that it's kind of easy to forget how important this is and how much work it was to start it and how revolutionary community radio was when it began. And it still is, but it's easy to lose sight of that because we just get so used to how great it is to have a resource like this.
Right.
And so, you know, I tend to try to honor as much as I can the folks who started this station. And I think that by investing myself in ensuring its stability into the future, that's a good way for me to do that.
Well, speaking as one of the old timers, I would say you're doing a fabulous job. I think we are all thrilled. Even Susan's not an old timer, but she's been here 5 years, and I know that the staff is also very excited because you moved up from operations manager, and instead of leaving a hole, you sucked in Brian Bovenizer.
Yeah, you know, I just did staff evaluations for the year, and you know, the thought that we left every one of those with was, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so happy to work with you. We're so fortunate to get to do what we do, where we do it, and for the people that we do it for. And so I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try to get back to the topic, which is the Radio for Good campaign. We actually have some really good news.
Good.
I set a goal to raise $25,000 a year for the next 3 years. We started on November 27th, Giving Tuesday. And as of today, we're at $31,000.
Yeah.
We hit our goal in less than a month, Carol. It was incredible.
That's fantastic.
Such a vote of confidence from the community. And so the good news is that we actually get to stop asking you for money until the next pledge drive. And one of the things that I'm really trying to make sure everyone knows is that the station has an operating budget, which we require to do what we do. And so that's where business memberships, individual memberships, underwriting, and the pledge drives come in, and the you know, various other ways that we raise money. That goes to the operating budget. The Radio for Good campaign exists outside of that as a capital campaign to rebuild the station. And so, you know, we will come to you in the spring pledge drive for our operating costs, but we're not going to talk to you about this. We don't need you until next year.
Susan, do you have anything to say about that? Because personally,
we don't turn down donations
you.
Or
thank
checks,
you.
But I think it's important to acknowledge when we've had success and when we've reached a goal.
Now that's great, and also to put the word out, the confidence is here in this community, and so jump on the bandwagon. If you've been waiting to see, is it really going to stick around or what?
Yeah.
The answer is a definitive booming doombecking yes.
Absolutely yes. Yeah.
And I've always believed that when you listen to KMUN, if you're putting a little bit of membership money behind that, it just sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
really, really more connected to the whole community if you've put a little bit into the pot for us.
Absolutely.
So keep doing this.
And so the ball is now in our court, now that we have that community fundraising, to go to foundations and ask for a match, you know. And so my budget for the year for each of these 3 years is $50,000. And so we have our community match, and now it's time to go get the foundation match.
Do you feel pretty good about, because I thought foundations are sort of stretched thin.
I feel good.
I think that
you know, the fact that we've been around so long, the fact that we have this community support, mm-hmm. that is exactly what they're looking for.
Good.
And when they look to who they're going to fund. And I just think that, you know, the evidence is there that we provide a service that people appreciate and need.
Right.
And we have a really solid board working mm-hmm. on this type of stuff this year, and we have committees that have great fundraisers on it, whether they're writing grants or
events.
Doing events like the Gorka concert coming up mm-hmm. in January mm-hmm. or the great birthday party we had this year. You know, we're solidly working towards.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I do want to mention, though, when I said that about the Oregon Cultural Trust, for those of you who don't know, let me give you exactly how it works. For every dollar that you give to a nonprofit, and there's a whole list of them, we are one of them. You give us $100, you give KMUN $100, you turn around, you go to the Oregon Cultural Trust, you give them $100, and that is taken, not a deduction, it is a credit for your state taxes. Now, if you don't pay any state taxes, this doesn't affect you necessarily. You just do it because you want to support the community. They take the money and they give it back to the communities to give out. And I did notice that KMUN was one of the recipients of the Cultural Coalition. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
But so right now you can call 503-325-0010. Maybe Graham isn't going to ask for money, but I think it's always good. It's good for your soul and it's good for the station to have the support always coming in. And it just, you know,
and I'd like to know, too.
It makes the music sound sweeter.
It does.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you know the programmers better. And I want to say that if you're a member who can afford $5 a month, you are just as important as a member who can afford to write a $10,000 check.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's because of those operating costs as well as those occasional needs for larger sums of money. And we do rely on everyone, and everybody's contribution is important.
And if you have a creative way of earning money, for example,
what? The bottle return.
Exactly.
Yeah, 10 Lynn, cents a can. That's
Lynn
a good
Marie
way to make money.
Yeah. Brought in $1,500 for people, and now Stephanie Smith is following up on the people bringing in their cans. And these guys take it to the shop and dump it. $1,500 from the can collection, folks. So if you have an idea, go for it.
And, you know, a couple things to remember are the Gorka concert on the 17th at the PAC. Please come. It's going to be an amazing show.
Absolutely.
Fort George is hosting a benefit night for us on Tuesday, the 26th of February. There's going to be some really cool auction items. So please come hang out with us at the Fort for that. We'll be coming at you in March with a membership drive. We hope that you'll show up in numbers for that. We love adding to our numbers. You know, every year we try to grow. We try to, you know, we serve 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people, and our membership base is 1,000, 1,100, 1,200. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to see that double in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and you know how you can do that is give a gift membership.
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah,
you know, it is the season for gift giving. Every day is the season in my book, but this is what some people, so give Susan a call. she'll stick around till 4 o'clock, and then you can call next week.
And whoever you're giving that gift membership to can listen to us wherever they are online.
All over the world, wherever you are. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
For what you guys do for Coast Community Radio.
Carol.
And thanks to you folks listening for what you do.
And sorry, one more thing, but if you're listening and you do have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer your questions. Send me an email, graham@coastradio. We also have feedback@coastradio. The staff loves hearing from you. Our programmers get to talk to you on the phone all the time, but the staff doesn't get to hear that feedback. And so feedback@coastradio.org, let us know what you think.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks, Carol.
We are very accessible. That's more than I can say for most radio stations. Thank you so much. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going on. Put a little Clifton Chenier behind me. I got some more guests coming in, live musicians. And meanwhile, I'll just let you know, tonight at Suamit Hall, here they come. They'll tell you more about that. Also, Cannon Beach is having an international foods time with good stuff all over town. Tonight till 11 and tomorrow all day. And tomorrow morning is Troll Radio Review, 11 o'clock at the Fort George upstairs. And who's coming? We have Lorenzo Carlson, Kelly Shannon, and the Troll Radio House Band. Come on up. It's good for everybody. Good dance music, too. And then the Hoffman has painted plates and platters, 1 to 4 and 2 to 4, drawing solutions. Southwester Bitches of the Sun. Ha, I get to say that on the radio. It's the name of a group. It's an Oregon trio. And the NCRD is featuring a Celtic Yuletide with magical strings. On Sunday, Fort George with Brian Bovenizer and the New Old Stock. And Monday, Fort George is going to feature Will West and the Friendly Strangers. And something very special happening on Sunday, Bayou Seku with Jeannie McCleary and Ken Kepler from 7:30 to 9:30 with music from New Mexico, Louisiana, and American Southwest. This is a one-shot deal, folks. They are visiting. They are fabulous. That's Sunday, evening. And then Monday night, New Year's Eve, the Columbian Theater, the Labor Temple, the Sand Trap, and the Bridgewater Bistro with Maggie and the Cats. And now my guests. Let's see, how many mics are we on? I don't even know.
All of them.
All of them. Oh, good. I'll put that one on, too. There we go. I am thrilled. This is one of my favorite new bands. The Horsenecks are here. They're actually very attractive people. Neither of them have strange faces or necks or anything else. I don't know where these people get their names, but now we have horse feathers. We have horse necks. It's Gabrielle McCrae and Barry Southern, and they are putting on a very special dance. It is tonight.
It's tonight.
6:30 to 9:30 at Suomi Hall. That would be the Finnish Hall. And we want to give a big shout out, happy birthday to the Blue Scorcher.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's their 12th anniversary, I believe. And we love the Blue Scorcher. So how did you guys get into this? I mean,
to this event?
Yeah.
Dave Ambrose got us involved. We know him through the contra dancing that we've kind of gotten involved with a little bit since we've been in town.
Yeah.
And he needed a band for this event. And
have you always played dances?
Yeah,
play a lot
much.
Of dances.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because I the first time I heard you live was at the Pickled Fish, the Adrift.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
And yeah. I would not have pegged you as a dance group.
Right. Well, we do kind of a different set of repertoire when we're playing for dances as if when we're just doing a show, you know.
So your repertoire is rather huge, basically.
Yeah.
We played for the 3 hours last night, and
oh lord!
I mean, that didn't even feel that long, did it?
No, we played a session once that was about 14 hours long, didn't we?
Oh my god!
We did.
Was that for Ripley's Believe It or Not, or what?
No. It should have been. It was at a little pub in Ireland, one of the hardest pubs to leave in the world.
Oh
it was.
My gosh!
But we broke the record in there. They have a session every. It was the last day of the Westport Bluegrass Festival in this town, Westport.
Westport, what state or country?
Oh, it's West Coast
Ireland.
Of Ireland.
Ireland, yes. See, there are Westports everywhere, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's one right there, isn't there? Yeah.
I was in Cork, Ireland, and they did, on purpose, 4 Ripley's. That's why I said that. I didn't realize that's what you were talking about. They did a Cayley, and they had the largest number of bands and the largest group of dancers.
Yeah.
It was only a 4-hour session, but it was huge number of dancers and musicians.
Well, I think that day we drank the largest amount of pints of Guinness.
Okay, now I have to have you tell folks where you're from, because otherwise, why does he talk that way?
Well, I'm from the beautiful city of Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Which is sometimes called the biggest city in Ireland, but it's not actually an island.
No, it isn't.
No.
I think many of us have heard of Liverpool. I asked you to bring your instruments, though, and you have them.
We do.
And I would love to hear something. And it's up to you what you want to play. Remember, tonight they're going to be playing all dance tunes, although maybe you'll play a waltz or something. Will you
sure,
sing?
Yeah,
usually a couple of waltzes thrown in, yeah.
Yeah.
But, we thought we'd play an old classic dance tune first, and then called Cindy.
Yep, Cindy.
Okay.
Someday.
Typical for a fiddler to sing as well as fiddle?
Well, not during a dance, not while the caller's calling. But
no, but ordinarily when you're playing, because I'm always, I always think of the fiddler because you have this thing jammed up against your face. I'm going, how are you singing with that thing?
But, takes a while. Takes a while to learn how to do it, for
a little bit of practice, yeah. But you've been playing forever?
Not forever. I actually came to the fiddle kind of late. I started out playing guitar and banjo. And then on my 20th birthday, I got my first fiddle. So
when did you start with the banjo and the guitar?
I started on guitar when I was a kid. My parents were musical. And then.
And you're from?
I'm from Portland originally.
Oregon?
Yes, Portland.
Oh,
Oregon.
I didn't realize that. Is that how you got back this way?
Yeah.
Because of your family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, lucky us. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And then. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the thing is, that's the other thing I remember about the two of you, is you all play all these instruments, mm-hmm. and you've just got them kind of lined up there, and you just grab one and start. Mm-hmm. And it's...
Well, they're all very similarly related to each other in this kind of music, anyway, you know.
They have strings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good... Well, sometimes they have strings. You know, if you're making a little bit of money, they've got strings. But, you know, the fiddle and the banjo are often tuned in a similar way, so if you can play one, you can sort of play the... I don't want to make it sound like it's easy, but you can sort of play the other
start.
One.
Yeah. Maybe if you're really good on one, it's easier to pick up another.
That's right.
And if the tunes are already in your head, then it's easier to sort of translate them to a different instrument.
Yeah. Well, you two do it so well.
Thanks, Carol.
It's just a joy. And how about you? On how long have you been playing since you?
It's been about 6 or 7 minutes now. I started playing the banjo when I was about 24 or something.
Like that.
Well, I played the guitar before that. Started playing the fiddle when I was 33.
Oh,
I wish I'd started early, but that's just one of them things, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
You wish you'd started when you were a little kid. Imagine how good you'd be now.
I wish I'd start a little bit earlier, like about 70 years. I've got my percussion stuff in the car.
That'll do.
That's it. Yeah. And I don't even have to tune it. That's the
perfect.
Joy.
Yeah.
And so
save a fortune on strings.
That's why I said you're all strings. I'm no strings. That's it. So what else you got for us? What kind of a tune?
Well, we've got there's a couple that we were thinking of. But there's one that we learned.
I just looked at the clock. You have about 2 minutes.
Oh, we'll play play a really quick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is it's actually a Norwegian accordion tune that we learned from a Cajun fiddler up in Port Townsend, Washington this
Great.
Summer. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Short version.
I like the way it, I don't know what you know, when you go into that different
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's really nice. Just sort of dip right in there. Beautiful. The horse necks.
Thanks, Carol.
Again, that is Gabrielle McCrae and Barry Southern. They're playing tonight for the Blue Scorcher. It's going to be at Suomi Hall, and that's right there on Marine Drive on the west end of town, 6:30 to 9:30. You don't have to know anything, and you don't even have to dance if you don't want to.
That's right.
To.
Just come and look at all the smiling faces.
That's it.
No experience
listen
necessary.
To the great music.
But full band tonight as well, by
the
way.
Yeah,
it'll
be
great.
Guitar and
excellent.
Bass.
Yeah. Okay, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Time for Left, Right, and Center. Thanks, folks. Have a good new year. Let's hope for the best.